Happy Good Friday to those who are marking the day. It is the day that the Bible records that Jesus went to the cross to save mankind. Are men safe now? Saved now? I think only those that it concerns can tell if they are truly saved and what being saved means to them. What the sacrifice, because that's what it's been called, the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. So that's what Good Friday is about. Jesus went to the cross and then he died, and then the whole idea was to save mankind from themselves and from the devil. So here we are, many years later, and I dare ask the question, are you saved? We have to get into conversation about maternal mortality. It's 2022, we still have women dying from childbirth in Nigeria, and the big question remains, why?
This is the Morning Crossfire, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
60 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. My guest is here, Professor Rosemary Ogu. She's the HOD, ONG. She'll tell us what ONG is. At the University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital. Good morning, Prof.
Good morning.
How does that sound?
HOD, ONG. Prof. Oh, Prof. Oh, it's nice.
Right?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
You paid your dues.
Yes.
You paid in full.
Yes, it is nice. Professor Rosemary Ogu. Mm-hmm.
Oh. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I mean, you've been the last time you were here, you said 3 decades?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's been doing this for 3 decades. So she's seen women coming to give birth to children. Some of them do not leave. Yeah. Some of them lose the babies as well. Why does this still happen?
It's very sad that it still happens. It still happens. Why does it happen? I think number one is ignorance, then poverty.
Okay, they're on the same street.
Yes, ignorance and poverty. Because I believe everyone wants to live. People want to live, you know. People want to enjoy life. And we all know that when you get pregnant, there's a risk of death associated with pregnancy. You have 9 months to prepare, but sadly, people are not prepared. So you get people who come into the emergency room of the labor ward without a pin, without anything. You have women who are laboring in places they are not supposed to be laboring in because they feel they don't have the money. Not because they feel, because it's a reality. They just don't have the money to go to the right place. You see women moving up and down from one clinic to the next because they can't pay. You see people coming to like negotiate, how much will it cost if I come here? How much is it there? Okay, let me go there. I can't pay there, let me run. So people just move up and down without taking a firm decision. And that delay, that movement up and down, that delay in taking a decision causes problems. When you eventually even get to the facilities, sometimes the delay in receiving care can lead to the death of a woman during pregnancy and childbirth. Delay in receiving care because the pregnant woman who has come to the facility didn't come with any money, cannot pay for things. The facility on their own don't have things to work with because of the same poverty in the land. They don't have things to work with. So it's when you come, you buy your things, and then they work.
And all that does take some time.
All that causes delay, and all that leads to death.
All right, but you said there's a 9-month window for anyone who's falling pregnant. So what needs to happen from the onset? And when really is the onset?
Okay, onset is when the woman misses her period. And so you're expecting the menses. Let's say you're expecting the menses today. That's menstruation. And it doesn't come. You wait another 4 weeks. It doesn't come. You already start feeling these pregnancy symptoms. The boobs are getting bigger. And you're feeling tired. You're sleeping all the time. That's pregnancy. And at that time, by the time you're missing the second period, the second menstruation, you're already 8 weeks pregnant.
Confirmed.
Yes. So you should register at that time. That is the time when you should start your antenatal clinic. You should go and register at the facility for antenatal clinic. You should now start preparing your things for delivery. You should start preparing your things for a healthy pregnancy. So not just a healthy pregnancy, a healthy care during pregnancy, because you're already pregnant, so you're not preparing again for pregnancy. You can have preconception care. If you know, like, you get married today and you say, I'm going to have a child in another 2 years, you should do preconception care before that time. Okay. Do you understand? To prepare yourself so that when the pregnancy comes, you're prepared. So there are different stages of preparation. Before you get pregnant, when you now do get pregnant, start antenatal care, and start antenatal care early. 8 weeks is best.
Some people, all right? Some people believe that, you know, that antenatal care is a waste of time.
Oh, no, not at all. Studies have shown, experience have shown, we have seen that women who attend antenatal care rarely die. The women who attend antenatal care survive, because during antenatal care, you can now detect if there are problems that can lead to death, if there are problems that can spoil the outcome that you're looking for, a healthy baby and a healthy mother. If there are things that will prevent that from happening, you detect it during antenatal, so you can prevent it, so you can care for it, so you can eradicate it, so you can remove it. And we do know the things that can make a mother or a child not to survive pregnancy. We do know the things. The information is not a problem. The knowledge is not a problem about the things that can cause a poor outcome, a bad outcome during pregnancy. So if you attend antenatal, you can prevent all those bad outcomes from happening. You can detect early if any bad outcome wants to happen, and you can nip it in the bud. All right? I could give you examples. So let's say a woman comes to register for antenatal. She has no complaints. There's nothing wrong with her. She comes at 8 weeks. You measure her blood pressure, and her blood pressure is normal. Let's say 120, 80 millimeters of mercury. The woman comes again at 12 weeks. You measure her blood pressure. You do a urine test. It's normal. The woman comes again at 16 weeks. You do her blood pressure. You check her urine. It's normal. And then she comes the next time at 24 weeks, and you notice that this blood pressure has gone up a bit. There's some protein in the urine. And then she comes the next time, the blood pressure has gone up another bit, and now there's more protein in the urine. You automatically just make your diagnosis of preeclampsia. Is it severe? Is it mild? What should you do? Is it the one you should admit her? Is it the one you need to end that pregnancy for her life? Is it the one you can manage, you know, control until she delivers? So what I'm saying is, during antenatal, you can pick these things up. You can take care of the woman, cater for her, and ensure she has a baby and she's fine.
Okay, so
if she didn't attend antenatal, that's the type that they bring to you. Say, oh, you don't get convulsion. You don't convulse for house. Woman will not get any complaint. It happens, because usually there may be no complaint. So if you're waiting for there to be a complaint, oh, I'm having headache, oh, my tummy is paining me, oh, my eye is turning me, I'm not seeing well. If you're waiting for all those, you may not find it. All right? And by the time you're getting all those symptoms, it is already severe preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. So it's already a big problem.
So we have these people that say, my mother had 7 of us in the home. She didn't go to any hospital. These people are just trying to take our money. How would you respond to those people?
Take your money. Which money? Which money are we taking? The care you receive in a hospital, you can't pay for it. You can't. So which money are you taking? Please go to hospital. That your mother delivered without going to a hospital doesn't mean you should do it. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. The times of then and the times of now are not the same. The structure, the bony structure, if we even start with that, is different. The bony structure of those days and the structure of these days is not the same. So you cannot say because your mother delivered at home, you want to try it. Don't try it. Come and register for antenatal care. Come and attend antenatal care. And come and deliver with a skilled birth attendant.
Okay, so we've seen women who go to traditional birth centers. What are the dangers? Because you mentioned poverty and ignorance, yes. But they still tell you that, okay, maybe they don't have money and they want to go to these places. What are some of the dangers that, you know, they might face when they do that, or they will actually face?
The dangers are that there are scenarios in pregnancy that you cannot deal with except you are in a health facility, a well-equipped health facility. So if those scenarios come up in that particular traditional birth attendant space, you are doomed for. You are doomed for. There's nothing they can do for you. Let's give instances. You have a baby who's presenting by the breech. That's the baby's coming out by the buttocks. In the process of trying to turn it, they rupture the uterus. And so the woman, of course, when those things happen, nobody says it out. Nobody's gone. You that it happened to, shame will not allow you to come out and say, "Child, I went to that woman's place and that baby died, or I almost died, or I started bleeding." You can't say it out. Even the woman herself cannot tell anybody that somebody came to me and almost died. You cannot. So they hide it, but they bring them to us. We have an isolation ward. When next you come, I'll take you there. The isolation ward is a ward where we admit people who didn't have antenatal care or people who come in already mismanaged. Every day, as I'm talking to you, so even yesterday, every day, they bring women who have been badly managed. They call them maternity homes. The maternity homes are not manned. Sometimes someone tells you, say, "I woke up in the dream and God told me to go and take care of pregnant women. And so she starts taking care of pregnant women. What care is she taking? She has no idea of or experience or knowledge or skills. And so she just stays there. And the thing about labor and delivery and childbirth is that some of them are normal. Nothing happens. The woman can deliver inside the car. Nothing will happen. Baby just comes out. Everything just works out well. But there's about 15%. Up to 20% depending on the settings. For us, up to 50%, because by the time they come, they're already bad. You have complications already. You understand? So you have complications already. So going to a traditional birth attendant cannot help you in that regard. Women who have babies who are coming with the breech, that's breech presentation. Women who have babies who are lying across, a transverse lie is the worst presentation lie that a baby can take, to lie across, because there's no how it's going to come out. There's no how. Either the hand will fall out. If the hand falls out, imagine hand is falling out. How are you going to drag the baby out of the vagina hole? How? It's not possible. Do you understand? So that baby is doomed. The cord will fall out as well. You have a cord prolapse, that baby just dies. And the woman can have a ruptured uterus, as the womb will tear. Because of how the baby is staying, the woman is having contraction. There's no way for that baby to come out. The easy way for baby to come out is with the head. The baby is with the head and just slips out. So, because of these things, it is important to let women know that don't go and deliver with somebody who does not have the skills, the requisite skills, you know. Don't go and deliver there. You're only setting yourself up for downfall. Somebody who has had a cesarean section before, you know, somebody who has a fibroid, somebody who has a pelvis that is not adequate for vaginal delivery. There are people like that. It's in their structure, the way the pelvis is structured. You cannot have a vaginal delivery. So for people like that, you need a cesarean section. Are you going to have a cesarean section in a maternity home with a traditional birth attendant, or with somebody who woke up from sleep and said, "I now have the skills"? You know, so these are the things that sets up the stage for what our women go through. And we're losing a lot of women. We're losing a lot of babies.
So it's not the devil. It's not village people.
It is not the devil at all. It is not village people. It is you not planning for delivery, not planning where you will go and deliver. It's you not having antenatal care. It's you not having a birth plan.
All right, Professor Rosemary Ogu is my guest. And the commercial has to play when I train for PH, talking maternal mortality today.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. We've got 25 minutes before 9 o'clock. Professor Rosemary Ogwu is my guest, and she is the HOD Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital here in Port Harcourt. Good morning again, Prof. And she's told us some of the things that make it possible for a woman to die, and possibly, and also her baby, lack of care, basically antenatal care, and lack of preparation for birth, a birth plan. So what are some of the things that you'd like to see women doing to ensure that this doesn't happen?
Okay. Economic empowerment, strange as it may seem, those are the root causes of why women die. They're not economically empowered. They don't have the funds to take care of themselves. They don't have the money. They have this belief that the man should do the payments. And so sometimes you have women who come, who you think can pay, and the woman tells you, no, I'm waiting for him to come and sign. I'm waiting for him to come and do things and so on. So that empowerment that encompasses her views. So it's not just having the money in the pocket, which a lot of them don't have, but even having the mindset to say, look, I can take a decision. So I don't know how we're going to get over that. That is something that I really don't know. How do you get over that? How do you see a woman who... if we talk about the educated ones now, who have the funds and tells you, no, he's not around. He went to offshore. When he comes back, he will pay. Okay? So on the one hand, the fact that women can't take decisions by themselves, it's a big issue. But let's remove that. If we remove that, if we have a scenario where women can take a decision, then the next thing that they need is economic empowerment, having the money to pay for the things. What else can they do? Let them have a birth plan. Plan for yourselves. You are pregnant, come for antenatal. Register for antenatal and attend the antenatal. Follow what you are told to do. Mm-hmm. All right? I shared with you the last time I was here. I said we did an annual report where we look at our care over the last 1 year. And the women who die are women who didn't attend antenatal clinics.
Okay, now that you've mentioned this, we have the interference from this how, okay, a mother, for example, this is how I did it. What are they telling you in the clinic? How do you deal with those kinds of contradictions?
You try to educate them. It's just to keep talking to educate. Because a woman can come and say, no, I don't want to come. I want to wait. And the other woman said when she waited, her own worked. Mm. And you're saying, no, it's not like that. Once your baby has passed 42 weeks, the chances of that baby dying is 6 times higher than normal. So come in for an induction of labor. Come in for delivery. And the person says, no, mama this did it. And she, her own, she stayed. She carried the pregnancy for 10 months. Nothing happened to her. You know, things like that. So it's just to continue educating them. We have small leaflets now that we share. If you go online, you would also see information about pregnancy and what to do. So those information also help. Talking to people one-on-one, giving them information, giving them facts. If you remember, I said ignorance, illiteracy. Ignorance, illiteracy, poverty. It's what is killing our women. But you still have literate women who fall into the same trap. So you now wonder, what is wrong with them? What is wrong with them? I was talking with someone this week, and she says, look, we have free antenatal that we offer, yet women will still not come. So you wonder, what is wrong with them? What is the mindset? So today, what I'm talking is, wherever you are, if you know a pregnant woman, please ask her to register for antenatal care.
That's right.
Ask her to register, ask her to attend, ask her to follow what she has been asked to do at the antenatal clinic.
We also have the religious interference. You know, some religious places have their birth centers, and, you know, they say, come every Thursday, we pray for pregnant women, we anoint them, you would give birth this, you would give birth that.
I don't want to put mouth into that one.
But it's part of what we see.
Is that somebody says, when your car is spoiled, you go to the mechanic. When your car is not even spoiled, you still do regular maintenance for your car. But when it now has to do with your own body, you now start, you're supposed to go to a hospital. No, you go to a church first. You go to a chemist first. You will go to Mama Caro first. You will go to the massage woman first. You do all those rubbish things first before you now finally reach the hospital. And so you compound the problem. So please, Every woman who's pregnant, go and register for Antinenta. Plan your delivery. Find out who will follow you when you are about to go for to give birth. Who's going to follow you in labor? Who's going to take care of your house when you're not there? Mm-hmm. Who's going to stay with you when you're in labor? Because we now know that having a companion helps. Okay, you need to do all those things. How will I pay for the things? You're going to deliver. You will pay delivery fees. You will buy baby clothes. You will buy baby cots. You will do things. Plan for it. It doesn't fall from heaven. It's a bit disheartening when people come into labor and they don't come with anything. They don't have wrapper. They don't have pads. They don't have anything. And so you are the one now running up and down, looking for pads, looking for wrapper, looking for things. For somebody who was pregnant for 9 months, I beg, come on. But we see it every day. We see it every day.
So we have these people that say, you know, these doctors just want to make money. Like you say, they reference other people and say, why must I have surgery? So sometimes we don't see the men or the fathers to come and sign. Sometimes even the woman is saying, no, I want to wait, or let me go back. And I don't know, they have all these things they say.
It happens. We see it all the time. My view is that they don't understand. Because all those talks, all those delays lead to a poor outcome, leads to a bad outcome. And I strongly believe, somebody asks, how do you get your resilience? Why do you keep trying to help these women? These women that don't hear, well, why do you keep trying to help them? And I say, we keep trying because we know we're making changes. We're bringing hope to homes. We're bringing joy to homes. Yeah. So we keep at it, irrespective of how the women behave. So part of why we're here today is to say, please, know that you're supposed to prepare for this. Know that you're supposed to plan your delivery. Plan how much you would spend. Save towards it. Find the money before time. The way the country is, nobody is going to pay for you. You have to make your payments. Plan towards it. There are cooperatives. There are things that you can do to save money towards delivery. You can join cooperatives. You can pay small. Every month you keep set aside a certain amount and so on. But to wait until the 9 months has now come, and now that is when you're now saying, okay, I will pay 20,000 every month. Your bill is 140,000. You're paying 20,000 every month. So you're going to pay for 7 months. You want your wife to remain in hospital for 7 months because you didn't plan beforehand.
Okay, someone has sent a question, a rather disturbing one, so I'll just rephrase it. There's poverty, but people are still giving birth to more children than they can cater for. How do we deal with this? Because you're talking now, I mean, we've seen people, a woman in a bacha has 5 children, she's pregnant with the 6th, the husband is a laborer, maybe makes 2,000 a day, and they already have 5 mouths to feed, plus him 6, 7, 1 in the stomach, then maybe they turn out to be a set of twins.
The first time we came here this year, we came to talk about family planning.
Yeah.
Have the number of children you can cater for.
God,
have the number of children.
When contraceptive failed.
No, contraceptive failed is not a reason to have a baby. It's not a reason to have a baby when you are not prepared for that baby, when you cannot cater for that baby. You know, some people say, oh, God gives. God gives, yes, but still have sense now. Still have sense and plan yourself and arrange it. Just wait small. Wait small. Whatever the way life is, there's growth in life. So whatever you're earning now, hopefully in the next year, it will increase. It will be more. Forget Nigeria. Nigeria is not a place to use to plan. No, because somebody will say, ah, doc, what I was earning 2 years ago is bigger than what I'm earning now. My salary has not increased and so on. That's Nigeria. But generally, in life, there is growth. And growth affects all phases. So if you can't care for children now, wait, maybe next year, maybe next 2 years, maybe next 3 years. So plan yourself. And if you plan yourself, it works. Don't just go having children that you cannot cater for. It's not nice at all. It's not done.
And then you burden other people who also have their children.
I'm telling you,
and
initially I call people often to say, please, I have a patient who just came in. They don't have anything. Please, can you give us oxygen? Please, can you give us bed mats? Please, can you give us blood? Please, can you give us antibiotics? I have a woman who has just delivered. Everything is fine. She can't pay her bill. Her bill is 120,000. Her bill is 80,000. She's still here. 1 week after, this woman has not gone. Please, I'm ashamed. Let this woman leave my facility. I don't want her here. Please come and help me pay the bills. And I used to get help like that. But it got to a point and I said, I'm not doing it again. Because it's not like people, yes, bad behavior. People just decide. They are pregnant. They wait 9 months. They reach the end of the 9 months. They have their babies and they tell you they can't pay. What kind of thing is that? What kind of talk is that?
And so that's the beginning of the child's life.
I don't beg them anymore to say, come and pay for someone who has been discharged. I don't do that. You don't pay your money. You remain there. You remain there.
What an embarrassment.
But I will not say I won't help you when you come ill. Do you understand? When you come in distress, when you come with a ruptured uterus, you cost by yourself. You're bleeding. There's nothing I can do.
So you save the life first.
So I will save your lives. But that bill, you will pay it.
0817-923-0003. So imagine you're going to have a baby and the first process is, one of the first... Within the first 9 months, one of the first things you would need to do is to pay the hospital bill. And you don't even have that initial money. So how would you do when the child starts growing older? We're Nigerian for good morning. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, dog, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, let me ask this question. Please permit me. Now, like a woman having an intercourse, after having an intercourse, bleeding, what is the cause of that bleed? Each time the woman make an intercourse, she bleeds it. She's not on a cycle. Thank you, Doc.
Come to the clinic. We're in the clinic on Tuesday after the Easter break.
Okay.
We are there from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Where did they come to?
We'll take your calls.
Where did they come to?
We'll take your questions. University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital, Obstetrics and Gynecology Department, Antenatal Clinic or Gyne Clinic. We'll take your questions.
8 a.m. on Tuesday.
Yes.
All right. We're Nigerian for. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I like the way you call Prof and the way she answered proudly and majestically. Prof, I greet you this morning.
You're
not easy now. Here's what Mama Goga is doing to work out for us. Prof, don't you think that some of these so-called, would I call it religion? Because some of them are not religious. Some are just I don't know how to describe them. They need to be prosecuted. Because at times when this whole thing has gone bad, that's when they remember that there's a hospital somewhere. I was in UPT sometime, I think 5 years ago, when I had my last baby. And as I was walking down, I saw one small car carrying a woman. The woman is bleeding all over the back seat. I was like, what is this? I approached one of the guys. They told me, they were coming from social place and all those stuff. And I think that is responsible for the reason why they say, they rush social person to the hospital. Because no history, nothing. I think if people are prosecuted for delaying these people, it will serve as a deterrent to others and they will know what to do. But by the time the person dies, these other persons are delayed, get everything free and wait for another one that will fall victim. Don't you think prosecution should be necessary in this case?
Prosecution is highly necessary. I agree with you completely. I agree with you. And we can do it as a people.
We ask the right questions and we call out people that are doing these things. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, let's hear you.
Good morning. My name is Emmanuel.
Okay.
I want to thank the prof. But my question is that, why is it that some doctors are always interested to operate women when they are pregnant? Like my wife, when she was pregnant, she attended maternity care. From the outset, then during delivery, the doctor said that she would be operated upon.
Why?
Though the first baby, the first delivery was an operation, and that was twin. But the second one, the doctor said that she would be operated upon. So she wasn't comfortable with that. Then she decided to go to her maternity where there's no doctor. And at the end of the day, she delivered safely. So my question is that why is it some doctors are always interested to operate women,
sir,
during pregnancy?
Sir, did you hear my question? Hello, sir.
Hello.
I said, what reason did the doctor give? Because the doctor won't just tell you, let's operate. What was the reason he gave?
Well, the doctor said that, according to him, that the baby, the size of the baby was too much. So, but at the end of the day, she went to maternity.
And there was no tear? There was no tear?
There wasn't any tear, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Whether there was no okay. tear or not. You prof remember when I was telling you that when they go and they have a bad outcome, nobody comes out to say it. Mm. The reasons for operation during delivery are to save the lives of the mother or to save the lives of the baby. Those are the reasons. So either the baby is not okay, the baby is too big. Rarely will you just do an operation just because the baby is too big. You will first of all give the woman a trial. Let her try. Even if the baby is big, we know that if she has good contractions, she can push this baby. So you give her a trial. But a woman who has had an operation before, you would always discuss the mode of delivery with her. And if you have had an operation before, a cesarean section could be the next mode of delivery. But you will not just go and carry the woman and go and operate on her like that. You would have assessed. You would only choose a cesarean section if you feel that that is her best option.
Okay, best option.
And even in that case, you still would give women a chance. If you remember the case of last weekend, that baby came. There was no liquor around that baby. But this was a first timer. Let's see whether she can make it instead of going to put a cut. And so she was hooked up to a catheterograph and monitored. It was during the monitoring, you now saw that, wow, the heart rate of the baby was just going haywire, up and down, up and down. We're going to lose that baby. That was how we now operated on that woman. That particular woman could have delivered vaginally. But she would deliver vaginally, that baby has died. Or she delivers vaginally, that baby comes out with very poor abgas score, severely asphyxiated, no oxygen to the brain. That baby comes out, is a mumu. He cannot pass exam like the other children. You caused it because you wanted the baby to come out vaginally. The baby came out vaginally, but comes out flat, floppy, has all sorts of problems. So these are the things that you look at. What kind of outcome are you having? You are proudly saying it now on radio that yes, your wife now went to where there was no doctor and delivered. Delivered how? Delivered with what consequences? How is that baby? And even if it turns out that everything is fine for the baby, there was nothing wrong with the baby, how does that make the decision to have a cesarean section a wrong one?
All right. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, Nigeria Info.
Yes, we are. Morning. Good morning.
Yeah, I want to tell the doctor there to try and reach out to touch it and maybe
Oga, doctor will leave the office. And all these problems she's been enumerating to go and meet churches. That's our job as church people. Tell your pastors to tell the other branch pastors that this thing, oh, you heard it on radio, you think that they should be calling these doctors from UPTH or from the general hospital to come speak to women. The women in your church, the older ones, they should be the ones rallying around to do these things. Don't send doctor a message when it'll be their own. We're Nigerian folk.
Hello, hello, Nigerian folk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to contribute to this program.
Well, listen.
Thank you, the doctor there, for getting people. And I had an issue where my wife went for delivery. Immediately we entered the clinic, they said, I said, no, I'm not comfortable.
Say again. Hello?
PMH.
Hello?
He said, no, rush her immediately.
Sir?
You know, immediately.
Hello, sir, can you hear me?
They checked. They said, her system was not open.
Her system was not open.
Doctors, they just go on location because they want money. And you know, they started monitoring her and she delivered safely.
So hold on.
It all depends on our doctors, the way they act and the way they do. So that's the problem we have.
So where she was a private clinic, right? Oh my. Because he mentioned the doctor saying bring her over to BMSH. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The doctor in the studio.
Morning.
Okay, my name is Imran. I'm calling from Port Harcourt. A very great program. I would always applaud Nigeria Info for the publicity they give to some things that is very, very good. But in this discussion, I've not heard where people talked about men. I think men have a whole lot of role to play in this particular issue because they are the originator of what is happening. Why should a man even have an erection first to pregnant your wife while you are not even ready to cater for the lady? Yes, I know that the doctor said that babies should be able to save money, should be able to be saving 20,000 and all that. But there are some women that they cannot save and they don't have a way to save and they can't steal. So I think men should listen more. And also, when people come to hospital, there's something I learned when I went to hospital. One of the doctors told me that you give your wife 2 years, not just because you want the womb to heal, but for you to even give space your children in terms of school fees and all that. And it's actually helping me.
Okay.
So another question I also want to ask the doctor is that, can women be advised to take drugs not to conceive when they know that their husband is not financially buoyant to take care of their children? Because I have one.
We have to let you go. Thank you for the question. Part
Thank
of what we talked
much.
About the last time, though, but...
Yeah, it's good for men to be involved. Male involvement cannot be overemphasized. Male involvement cannot be overemphasized. I just took it as for granted that the men should be involved because the problems we have are women say they are waiting for men. Mm. They're waiting for men to come and sign. They're waiting for men to bring money. They're waiting for men for this and that. So the men should be involved ab initio. Yes. And if men are involved, you have a better outcome. So that one is non-negotiable at all. Then if a woman realizes that her husband does not have everything they need, can she prevent pregnancy? Of course she can. That's what we're talking about, family planning. Plan your family. Have them when you can cater for them.
And Prof here said before that both parties have to be involved in the family planning process. Very important. So even the antenatal is not that your wife is going there. Do you even know what they do there? Do you know what they say there? I mean, my mom was a nurse, by the way, and I've seen a lot of people giving birth, and you see how the men are shaking. Man that is doing like he's a lion of the tribe of somewhere. When he gets to he's shaking like a leaf. I mean, I started seeing this since I was like 8 years old, so I've seen enough of it, you know. So yes, men, it's your child. You impregnated the woman, so you are the chief presiding officer of that institution. Prof, thank you very much for your time. So on Tuesday, the antenatal clinic is open?
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
From 8, but it's open like from 6:30. I'm just saying 8 o'clock, that's when the doctors will start seeing. Between 6:30 and 8 a.m., they're doing blood pressure checks. They are doing health antenatal information sharing, health information, urine tests, and all that. So from 6:30, the place is open. Yeah.
And is it every day of the week?
Every day of the week.
Okay, so
except
there's
public holidays and weekends.
So there's no excuse. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you have questions and you have someone bleeding after intercourse, it's not a good sign at all. You need to find out why. The simplest thing could be that the woman is not lubricated and so gets injured, but it could be a sign of a cancer. Postcoital bleeding could be a sign of a cancer. Whatever it is, that woman needs to be assessed. So please
see
come with your wife, see a doctor.
All right, thank you very much, Prof. Rosemary Ogu, for your time.
Thank
My name is Eno Agbevire. Enjoy the holiday. And as we listen, let's take action to prevent deaths, maternal mortality. Good morning.